Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Engaged Family Gaming Podcast. My name is Steven Dutzman. I'm your host. As always, this is the official destination. Hold on. This is the official destination where we delve into the finest video games and board games, perfect for you and your family. If you're a geeky parent, eager to share gaming moments with your kids, or just hunting for a family-friendly game recommendations, you've come to the right place. Let me take a moment to introduce you to the incredible team that makes this show possible. We got John Tomlinson, the man behind the curtain. We have Jeff Walker. Hello. We've got Jeff Walker hailing from the frozen north.
Hey.
Linda Roble, our mistress of magnificence, fondly known as Mom.
Hello.
And my very best friend in the whole wide world, Amanda Farrow, our very own princess of power. Amanda, welcome back.
Good to be home.
It is great to have you back. But before we dive into the episode, I do want to make some housekeeping notes. Amanda has authored an amazing book. It's entitled Digital Playgrounds, Our Kids and Video Games. You can find it at the link in the description. We're also excited to share our brand new magazine. It's not quite brand new anymore, but I still like it. And that link will also be in the show notes. And for you Dungeons & Dragons aficionados, do not miss our Dungeons & Dragons live play. I will be publishing episode 13 after this episode is done over on YouTube as soon as I can figure out how to get it off of this iPad. Episode 13 is right here, everyone. Well, that's our Trello. Episode 13 is right here. I just need to figure out how to throw it at YouTube and then it will be there. Spoiler alert, Talia suplexed a snake. That's all I'm going to tell you. If that intrigues you, good. That's what teasers are. So, it's September 19th. I don't understand how it is September 19th.
My wife's birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday to Jeff's wife.
Yeah. I forgot until about noon today.
And then I text her,
I'm so sorry, happy birthday. I forgot to say this morning. And her response back to me is, I forgot too.
Well,
I guess that saves you. That'll
do. She saved you by her grace. Yes. Because we don't know if she forgot or not.
We celebrated last weekend. It's okay. We went to the Renaissance Festival.
Okay, well, that's great. So, I don't understand how it's September 19th already. Like, this year has been going so fast. I was on a call today, and I was talking about 2 weeks from now being October 5th-ish. And we were like, how is October 5th, like, 2 weeks-ish away? And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. It's more than 2 weeks, but you know what I mean. It's like, it's close enough that you'd have to do that math, is what I'm getting at. And it's really only going to get crazier. That's weird news. I don't know that that's bad news. Like, it is what it is. Time marches forward infinitely. But I think it's time that we do my new favorite segment. And that's where we kind of abandon cynicism. We abandon the negativity of the video game space on the internet. And we share our good news. And today, because Linda put hers at the top of the Trello board, we're going to start with Linda. Linda, why don't you share with us your good news?
So last time, my good news was that I had a Kickstarter that was arriving by the end of the week. The good news, it's here. It came in on Thursday, 2 weeks ago. And unfortunately, life has been busy. It is still in shrink, but it's here. So once I have a free moment, I'm looking forward to getting that unboxed and start playing the four games that came in. So I'm very excited about that. And the splurge of backing games that went at the beginning of the year, more are going to be fulfilled soon. I was finalizing backer kits and things for, there's a bundle of three games that I backed on Kickstarter that will hopefully be fulfilled by next month. And then the mini game that is a prequel to Fire in the Library that we've talked about, Explosion in the Laboratory, is the new game. And that will hopefully be in also next month. So we shall see. So lots of good games coming in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Exciting stuff.
And that is absolutely good news. We know how Linda has finally caught the Kickstarter bug. And so now It's just gonna keep on coming. It's gonna keep coming. Well, I'm gonna go next. So I have two things. First of all, Amanda is back, and that is good news for me. I talk to you like every day via text message, so it doesn't really matter where on earth you are. However, it's good to have you back on Engage Family Gaming programming. We missed you on the last episode of the podcast, and then we missed you in Coils of Destiny. Don't worry, I took it easy on them a little bit because they didn't have you. But you did manage to ice cream scoop a snake, so it was fine.
I heard. That's exciting. Yep. Honestly, it's very, very in Vera's wheelhouse, so I love that.
Exactly. But the real good news, I was thinking about how October 5th is like kind of close. And as I was walking back to my desk after having that conversation, I realized, you know what that means? That means Super Mario Brothers Wonder is a little bit more than a month away. And every time I turn on a Nintendo Switch or see someone turn on a Nintendo Switch, I realize that it's just a different world now than it will be when we have a brand new 2D Super Mario Brothers game, the first new one in over a decade. Now, I know there have been new, but this is different. This just feels different. I am excited. So we've got Super Mario Brothers Wonder a month away-ish, and that is absolutely good news for me and for family gamers everywhere. Jeff, you're next.
My good news is finally getting to play Dungeons and Dragons for the first time in like 5 years.
I mean, listen, Jeff joined our campaign as the newest member of the Coils of Destiny crew and kind of replacing Noob Mama, who had to step out for just because she's super busy at all times. And Jeff did a great job. He talks a lot of smack. It was like having like a miniature Spider-Man in the chat. It was pretty great. Although I think Marie was ready to push you out a window at some point. Maybe not Marie. Talia was definitely ready to push you out a window.
I mean, what's a gnome if someone doesn't want to throw you out a window?
It's true. Gnome punting is a holiday. So having you in the Coils of Destiny campaign, absolutely good news. Last but definitely not least, although will be leaster as for tomorrow, if I can make that joke, my man, John Tomlinson. John, share us your good news.
So, currently down 55 pounds since the holidays.
Congratulations.
Let's clap to that. Well done, my man. That is a feat.
And we are about 40 minutes away from the end of The Fellowship of the Ring on Season of the Sea Witch's first watch.
That's another round of applause right for that. Watching the Lord of the Rings first time with the girl. Loving it.
Is she enjoying herself? Okay, like, I guess it's so long, I don't know. Into like, oh, what's this? It's like everything I put on, after about 20 minutes, a half hour, then she's like fully vested. Like with Loki, when we were watching that a couple months ago, like maybe halfway into the episode, maybe towards the beginning of the second episode, she watched the whole thing while I went to sleep. Like she couldn't stop it. Like, yeah, I'll make a nerd out of her one way or another.
I mean, in a non-threatening way, of course. Yeah, so. And that is absolutely two pieces of really good news. Hopefully, the two of you have some downtime coming up in the next handful of weeks, so you'll definitely be able to watch the rest of those Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, that's the good news segment. Let's get into the discussion topics, because we got a lot to talk about today. First, let's talk about the games that we have played. And Amanda, you have been playing a game with your daughter that is quietly hyping a little bit on the internet. Like, I'm hearing a fair number of people talk about it, but I want to hear your perspective.
So Vivi and I started playing Fae Farm together when I was in quarantine, because I came back, of course, with COVID. And I was responsible, so I quarantined. I had almost no symptoms, but I wanted to make sure I was keeping everybody safe. So I missed my boo. Actually, I missed all my kids and, you know, being in a room by myself for like 5 days was not ideal as an extrovert. So Vivi says to me, okay, mama, we have some options, right? I can come in with a mask on. And I said, no, you can't come sit with me with a mask on. You're not a grown-up. You don't have grown-up, you know, and you don't have a grown-up immune system. That's not going to work for me. Well, what can we do? I miss you. Well, we can play a video game. And then she suggested Fae Farm because she started playing it on the Switch. So I ended up diving in with her. Now, the multiplayer in Fae Farm is not great. It leaves a lot it leaves a lot on the table. It's not nearly as good as playing like Animal Crossing multiplayer. But also, Fae Farm has a lot more going on than just, you know, going around decorating and harvesting fruits and all of that good stuff. It's very much, it reminds me of Rune Factory in a lot of ways. And Rune Factory is essentially like Animal Crossing, Harvest Moon, Story of Seasons, all the farming stuff, all the good stuff that you love in a social simulation game and a management game, but it has dungeons. And so you go in and you go dungeon diving, essentially. So Viv was showing me the ropes with the whole game because she was brand new. Honestly, it's a really cute game. I think there are some things that I would want to change if I were on the development team. There are probably some decisions that I would have made that are very different, but I like what's there. I think it's really promising. I love the story. The story is super good. And even though multiplayer isn't great, it's honestly just nice sitting like, it was nice just sitting with her on the phone, essentially, and just talking to her about what she was doing and what she was excited about and, you know, the ways in which she was interacting with the game, not just how I was playing it. So I had a heck of a time. It was lots of fun, and I'm looking forward to sitting down and playing that with her again really soon. Also, I want wings. I haven't found the cosmetics for wings yet, and honestly, I think it's a travesty.
Well, hopefully, I mean, you find
everyone
it.
Wants wings.
Yeah, who doesn't? Who doesn't? Just, do they not have red? Do they not have Red Bull in that game?
You know, you're not allowed to run that commercial in Canada.
Really?
It's technically false advertising.
Well, yep. It is.
And we have like we have really stringent laws around false advertising in my home country.
You also have to pass a math test to win a sweepstakes, if I'm correct, too, right?
That is correct.
Really?
That's part of our gambling laws. Yes, you do. It's and not a complicated math program, but well, no, that's an East Coast thing. Oh, we get okay. Our milk in, you know, in jugs out in British Columbia. So
yeah, the
but anyway, so I had a great time. It was lots of fun playing Fae Farm with Vivi, and I'm looking forward to diving back into it soon.
It's really interesting to me that this game, when it was announced, a lot of people just completely glossed it over as like another farming game. But now that it's out, it's aesthetic, and I've also heard good things about the writing from other folks, you know, just across the internet. That this is just kind of one of those games that I feel like it's just going to kind of gain momentum over time, and I love to see it. So, I mean, I don't know that it'll be Stardew Valley level momentum over time. That's crazy. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that big in order to be successful. So here's hoping that Amanda's experience is not just hers. And I suspect that it's not. Jeff, you finished a game this week, and I want to hear how you liked it.
Yes, so I actually just yesterday I finished Sea of Stars. I think we talked about it when it came out a couple weeks ago.
We did.
And can I just say, it's a great game. Without spoiling anything, the story is amazing. It does that great RPG trope where, oh, I think I'm finishing with the game, and they're like, no, here's another world.
Love it. And I love like, that stuff.
Yay, Morgan. Really, my only nitpick is because it did come out before Starfield, and I played it first, and then Starfield came out. Played Starfield for 4 or 5 days until I decided that I was going to go back to Sea of Stars. My only really big nitpick is that it doesn't do a good job of directing you where you're supposed to go when you forget where you're supposed to go.
Yeah, you know what? That's something that they gotta learn. They gotta listen to Final Fantasy 16, because Final Fantasy 16 is really kind of good at kind of pointing you in the next direction.
Yeah, well, most RPGs, even you talk to a random villager, they're like, oh, so-and-so, da-da-da-da. And then you go talk to someone, and Sea of Stars is like, oh, I'm sad that my town got destroyed. You're like, I don't care. Just tell me where I'm supposed to go. I know. But that's really my only nitpick. I like the fighting style. I mean, it's a mixture of your turn-based combat with kind of like Super Mario RPG, where timed presses will help you block and do extra damage with attacks.
Yeah, it's kind of like Super Mario. It's kind of like Paper Mario, which we're probably going to talk about in a little bit. So I loved what I've played. I haven't been able to get back to it because editing video is really hard. But now that you finished it and told me that you really like it, now I'm really hungry to go back and give it another shot. I've got a bunch of games that I have to finish. I'm going to have to lock myself in a room at some point. Who else has played something that they want to talk about? Anybody?
I.
What about you, John?
I just finished Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion. I actually scored it in like one of the Fanatical bundles I bought, but wow, such a game. Like, the art style is very much reminiscent of like Link to the Past, and just flat out just quirky, weird stuff. I could say an early teenager would be able to play this, but like, younger kids are gonna miss a lot of the jokes, like, you know, but yeah. It's just so much fun. The puzzles are great. I only had trouble with one of the bosses, and it was like the mutant boss, and that was it. Everything else was pretty easy, but like, my power went out like a week and a half ago on like Friday night during one of those storms, and I happened to have it on the Steam Deck. I got 3/4 of the way through just that night in like 3 hours. It's a quick game, but it's a lot of fun. It's only like 4 hours probably, but it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, we know Amanda likes Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion famously. So
that's true.
And I've been playing Starfield, and Starfield's great. It's beautiful. If you like Bethesda games, it's another Bethesda game for adults. If you don't, you're going to get annoyed and leave. Like, it's really great. It looks beautiful when it runs right, but it's definitely a Bethesda game.
Right? Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to put it.
Jonathan, can I ask you a question real quick about Starfield?
Yep.
Did you run into the glitch where the door wouldn't open?
No, I had one where like it did take like 10 seconds or so, but I didn't have any door glitches like I've been hearing. But like,
I googled it.
I've been lucky. No big glitches. Luckily,
it was a main quest. I was supposed to go back to this one building and the door wouldn't open. I had to jump onto the roof and like pretty much climb through a top door.
My biggest complaint, and it's a simple complaint. Everything is fast travel. Like, all you're doing is fast traveling 90% of the day. Like, you can't walk across a map to get to the other thing, because you have to go up, you have to go map to wherever, jump to wherever outside of the planet, then go land on the planet, and then go somewhere. And like, That's where like No Man's Sky nailed it, and like, I understand why people thought that's what they were getting, but like, you get what you get with what, when people make games, they're making the game. You're gonna get what you get. So
yeah, I just learned I am not cut out on flying a spaceship trying to dock into other spaceships. 9 times out of 10, I just run right into them.
You just gotta point in the direction and just fire your engines and just keep hitting the dock button until pray. Yep. Just hit the button and pray.
So yeah, I'm at some point I'll have a moment to give Starfield a try, but I feel like I'm gonna wait until they do like a big DLC drop and play them like at the same time. Just because I think I need to give it some space, because Lord knows there's too many other games to play. So
give it some space. Oh, that's my kind of joke.
Pretty good. I was waiting all week to say that one. So this past week, so much news for so many reasons. I don't know what is this noise is in my house. Okay, so much video game news, so many things happening. I promised Amanda that I would bring her back and not make her do business stuff all day. So
thank you.
We're not going to talk about Unity.
You can listen to Virtual Economy. Yeah,
we're going to tell everybody to listen to Virtual Economy. You can hear all about Unity. And we'll talk about Xbox stuff later if we have time. But what I really want to talk about is we had a Nintendo Direct and a PlayStation State of Play on the same day. Last Thursday, gamers ate good. And I wanted to go through some of the highlights. And we're going to start with the Nintendo Direct, because I think the Nintendo Direct of the two was better. I think, you know, the PlayStation one had some cool stuff in it, but the Nintendo Direct one was pretty great. And I'm just going to open it up right here with what I think was, for me, the biggest surprise and the thing that I was the happiest with, mostly, Princess Peach Showtime.
That's awesome.
Amanda, this is a Magical Girl Princess Peach game. Just tell us about it. Tell us your feelings. Just give us the Amanda experience about Princess Peach Showtime.
The Amanda experience. Okay, so I didn't get a chance to watch the Nintendo Direct because I was working, because I have a shiny new job, which is cool. But that meant I didn't have any time to watch the Nintendo Direct. So I watched it after. As the princess of power, I obviously love Magical Girl everything. That's my thing. Eventually, I'm going to have a Sailor Moon, tattoo sleeve. I am all about it. We haven't had a Princess Peach game. I can't remember the last time that we had one. I think it might have been
on the DS.
It wasn't great.
It was five or seven, and her powers were on her feelings.
Her powers were her emotions.
Yeah, her emotions.
Which is okay. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, everything that Princess Peach Showtime with an exclamation point gave us is all I've ever wanted in a Princess Peach game. Peach herself looks adorable. There is a cohesive story. This made me think that Peach could maybe, this is her Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
This is her moment, right? And we've been waiting for her to step out onto that stage for goodness knows how long, and she just keeps being done dirty. But that's what it reminds me of. This has the potential to be a combination of Paper Mario meets Luigi's Mansion meets Magical Girl incredibleness. And I am beyond excited about this. And it's even got some Kirby elements in it, which is also amazing. It's this mishmash of wild genres, and I'm excited. I'm genuinely excited for Princess Peach Showdown.
So
I can't wait. And if you notice, I willed this into existence. I was like, give me a Princess Peach game. After seeing the first trailer for Mario, I was like, I want that. Give me that.
Well,
give look. Me that, the best.
Yeah.
But let's do Peach.
Yeah. Well, look, you did it. So for those listening that didn't, if you're watching and or listening and didn't see the Nintendo Direct, Princess Peach Showtime is a game. It takes place literally in a playhouse, like a show house, like where there are literal stages. And thanks to a talking ribbon, she gets to change into different costumes. The different costumes give her not only different powers, but they also mean that the different stages will have different gameplay mechanics. There's a detective, there's a chef that's kind of like a rhythm thing. There's Kung Fu Peach, which the best part about Kung Fu Peach is someone already animated Evo Moment 37 out of Princess Peach.
Incredible.
Parrying whatever that monster was and then sent it to Justin Wong. If you don't know what I just said, don't worry about it. But for me, him having that video made and sent to him is just something special for a fighting game fan. If you want to know, just come find me. I'll explain it to you.
So Steve, can you explain it to me after?
Yeah, I'll explain it to you later.
Thank you.
So it's very, very funny. Okay, I'm going to explain it right now. Justin Wong is the guy in Evo Moment 37 that got parried like 150 pixel perfect times by Daigo. And it's in our fighting game glossary. I have a thing. Hold on.
Because of course,
while he's gone, also a lot of Super Mario 3, because it's that this. Was all.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
This right here is like a framed shadow box pixel art of Evo Moment 37. And this is Justin Wong playing Chun-Li. And that's Daigo playing Ken. And he was all down to one hit. And Daigo parried him, which is a pixel perfect button press, like 16 times in a row to beat him. And somebody animated that in Princess Peach Showtime and tweeted it at Justin Wong. And I saw it on X or Twitter or whatever. And then I died inside laughing so hard. So anyway.
That's fantastic.
Can't wait for Princess Peach. Listen, if it could not have happened to a better character. Here's the other thing. Tell me that you weren't thinking Super Smash Brothers halfway through that whole trailer. Like, oh, Sword Fighter Peach could be a cool character in Smash. I was like, did they make this just to put Peach, four versions of Peach in Smash? And if they did, I'll allow it. So so that's Princess Peach Showtime. I think that's the coolest announcement out of the whole thing. The second coolest announcement out of the whole thing is that they're bringing back Paper Mario in the freaking thousand-year door, everybody. Oh, here we go. Jeff with the original cartridge with the GameStop sticker on it.
I know. Okay. Bought it for $25 back in the day when they were getting rid of their inventory.
I mean, I get you could resell it now that you can buy it up on that Switch. Bet you could get that. I bet you the value went down. So Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door is the best Paper Mario game so far, full stop. And they're bringing it back. And man, I've watched the trailers for Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door over and over again. And the little details are astonishing to me. They've added more details. They've added more characters. There's just more of everything. And I can't freaking wait. Linda, Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door is a genuinely funny video game. There is an entire segment where Mario is a pro wrestler.
Best segment in the world.
Easily the best segment.
I don't understand why you like that game. I don't understand
why the two of you are such big fans. Can't imagine.
That's honestly just part of it. There's so much. So this is, we don't know exactly when it's coming. It's coming next year sometime. My guess is towards the end of the year or, you know, whatever. But that's the next announcement. The third one, and you guys can see through the notes, this is the wildest announcement. And that's F-Zero 99. Now, we heard rumors that there was going to be F-Zero at the show. I just assumed it was going to be like F-Zero on Switch Online or, you know, something like that. F-Zero 99 goes hard, everybody. It is a battle royale racing game with F-Zero race difficulty. My middle son, who is probably the best gamer in the house, played, and he was just getting torched all night the night that he was playing it. Just absolutely demolished.
F-Zero is so hard. It's F-Zero, so hard.
It's so tough. But It's included in Nintendo Switch Online. I encourage everybody to give it a shot. It is zero. It's a fast download. It costs nothing. And it is, in spite of the fact that it's super hard, it is really fun. It's just chaos. Because it's 99 freaking rocket cars on this futuristic track. I thought it would make me sick. It didn't. Because Mode 7 and I don't normally get along.
Now, but it looks great. Has anyone had any issues with the glitch? Where, like, pixels are hanging after you exit the game?
We haven't had that problem.
Okay, good.
I haven't played it yet.
So So that's F-Zero 99. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, EFG Game of the Year contender, you know, like Tetris 99 was. But Tetris 99 was special. But F-Zero 99 is absolutely, it, you know, like, I liked it better than Mario 99. I thought Mario 99 was fun.
Mario 35.
Oh, Mario 35. You know, it's, I know it was only 35 dudes, but it's still in my head. 99.
Can I just
it's in the same Nintendo, it's in the same line. Go ahead.
Nintendo is killing. So when Fortnite came out and, you know, the new fad was Battle Royale everything, and Nintendo is like, oh, I'll show you Battle Royale games. And just, you know, Nintendo innovates. That's what they've been doing for...
Mario partied him.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Tetris 99, I said Super Mario 35, Pac-Man 99, which isn't Nintendo, but I think was only on the Switch. And now F-Zero 99, they're doing a great job of just taking a Battle Royals format and, honestly, I think more fun.
I mean, listen, you're not the only person that feels that way. I mean, Tetris 99 still has players. Like, it's not hard to get a game, get in and get a match of Tetris 99, especially when they do their holiday weekends.
They still do their, like, maximum cups or whatever where you can get special skins on Tetris 99.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That game's not going anywhere. So
I still play, like, every other month. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, when I just need to play some Tetris, this is where it comes down to. I have Xbox Game Pass, so I do have Tetris Night. I have Tetris Effect, and if I were to just randomly want to play a Tetris game, I play Tetris 99. It's my preferred Tetris, so which is wild, but here we are. That was like the bulk of the first party games. There was some other stuff, right? They showed us some more footage of Super Mario RPG. That's wonderful. We knew that was coming, but then they gave us like a slew of third party games. And I just want to talk about some of these games, because there are a couple that are rather noteworthy. One of them, Mr. Tomlinson, Dave the Diver, as you alluded to, that was coming to the... We knew it was coming to the Switch. We knew it was just a matter of time. I thought it was going to be next year. The fact that it's this year is pretty impressive to me. I cannot wait. I guess I don't need to buy a Steam Deck anymore. Probably going to do it anyway. Probably going to do it anyway, but I'm not going to do it just for Dave the Diver, because I don't need to. But it's coming to Switch, and that's pretty awesome. Next is Trombone Champ. Now, raise your hand if you know what Trombone Champ is in this call. Okay, Linda. Trombone Champ. You're muted. Trombone Champ is a music game.
Okay.
Where you are playing a trombone, and you control... the pitch of the trombone. On PC, it was with your mouse. So you just kind of like...
Oh, my word.
And on the Nintendo Switch, you can control it by, like, literally moving your hand away from the Joy-Con.
Like the slide of the trombone.
The slide of the trombone. And the sounds that come out of that game, I don't know that I want to call them music. It's entertaining.
It sounds like a middle school band.
It does sound like a middle school band.
That's rough.
But
that's rough, though.
But here's the thing: there is 4-player cooperative mode, so you can play four players.
Can harmonize.
Well, theoretically.
I played tuba in middle school and high school, and so I sat right next to the trombones, and that it brought back like just the sounds brought back so many memories.
I'll bet. So, that's Trombone Champ. Here's what I want. Everyone that is listening, I want you to go to YouTube right now. Unless you're driving, then pull over. Get out your YouTube. I don't know what, nobody's getting tickets or accidents because of me. Pull over, bring up your YouTube, look up Trombone Champ. Every streamer on earth except for me has done a Trombone Champ stream. This is like one of those things that like you just had, if you were a content creator on Twitch or YouTube, you had to make a Trombone Champ stream at some point over the course of this year. You'll watch it, you'll understand. It is the goofiest nonsense ever, but I love every second of it. I'm so glad that it's on Switch. The last thing, and this is just for the name alone, it is worth talking about. This is from Atlas and Vanillaware. Whenever Atlas and Vanillaware get together, you know something special is going to happen. Amanda.
Something's going to be good.
This game is called Unicorn Overlord.
Yeah, it is.
Really? Yeah, I kind of want to play this just based on the name.
I mean, listen, you know what? If Linda starts playing this hardcore strategy, like hardcore, like kind of gothic fantasy RPG, because it's called Unicorn Overlord, I'm in. Like, listen, they won. So Vanillaware, known for their absolutely gorgeous art style. Atlas, known for publishing deep, impressive, awesome RPGs. And whenever the two of them get together, something special happens. And this is Unicorn Overlord. It's coming to everything. And it is a turn-based strategy game. This was giving me big-time Ogre Battle vibes. This was giving me... And that right there, you know, Ogre Battle, like, let us cling together. Like, that kind of N64, early PS1 era strategy role-playing games. This is a very big deal. It was easily one of the prettiest games I saw the whole day on Thursday. And that's including more footage of Spider-Man 2 running on a PS5. Ooh. Like, this game is absolutely gorgeous. Wow. I cannot wait to talk about this game when it comes out. And it is coming out sometime next year. I texted my brother after this. And he loves him some Vanillaware and some Atlas games. And I was like, so what do you think about Unicorn Overlord? And all he could say to me was, yo, with like 50,000 O's. That was all I got from my brother. So
yeah, that lines up.
Yeah. That tracks.
That tracks with Mike. Yeah.
He was speechless. And frankly, so was I. I saw it and I was like, man, this is chef kiss. So that was the Nintendo. That was the Nintendo Direct.
There was also that really big Suikoden spiritual successor. Eladrin or something like that.
If we can't remember, like, you know what? If we can't remember the name,
that was one. So that was one that Season of the Sea Witch saw, and she was like, "Oh my god, that's Suikoden."
Well, it was very similar to that. I forget the name. We'll talk about it in a couple of weeks because I do actually want to talk about some of the other, you know, kind of RPGs that are coming out in the next couple of weeks. Oh, yeah. What is it? Yeah. Oh, the Iodine Chronicles. This one, you're gathering 100 heroes for your party, and everybody has a different story. They all relate to each other. I'm excited about this. This was a Kickstarter, and there was like a prequel to the game was already released on Game Pass last year. And so now we have the full version, or not the full version, the real game coming out this year. And right, Season of the Sea Witch is right. It is definitely a spiritual successor to Suikoden, which is hardcore PlayStation 1 era JRPG where you gather like a million dudes to join your team. So that was the Nintendo Direct. I think the Nintendo Direct was awesome. We didn't see the obvious omissions were things like Metroid and Donkey Kong and obviously plenty of Mario stuff. No Zelda DLC.
There was a little bit of Donkey Kong.
Oh, well, the Mario versus Donkey Kong. That doesn't count. I'm talking like a Donkey Kong Country game. Clearly.
I would have rather had them remake Donkey Kong 94 than Mario versus Donkey Kong, but that's just my opinion.
Clearly, they were holding some things back, and I'm hoping that we get some more fun stuff next year. We'll talk about what might be coming from Nintendo next year another time when we have a little bit more time. I do want to talk a little bit about the PlayStation event. And so PlayStation was later on, and the big reveal, they showed a lot of the same games, you know, as far as some of the indies, but they showed some PlayStation-specific stuff. The biggest reveal was a release date for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I was going to try and hold this to the end, but I can't. I'm just really excited. Amanda, Final Fantasy VII remake came out 3 years ago.
Sure did.
3 years ago, if I told you, Amanda, I'm coming, I am here from the future, and I'm here to tell you that less than 4 years from now, a sequel to Resident Evil Remake will not only be releasing, but it will be a 100 plus hour open world role-playing game. What would you have said to me?
I would have said, Steve, what has happened to you? And why are you talking about Resident Evil? Do we need to have a longer conversation?
Wait, did I say Resident Evil instead of Final Fantasy?
You totally you did. Sure that was, I want to play that game.
Okay.
But yeah.
It's 100. I meant Final Fantasy.
I mean there is a sequel to the Resident Evil.
I meant Final
Fantasy. I know you did. I just
But no, you had to get me. Okay, so yeah, if I told you that the sequel to Final Fantasy VII Rebirth or Remake was coming out, you wouldn't believe me? I wouldn't have believed you either.
No. Because it's so far and away from our understanding of Final Fantasy VII specifically. It's not Final Fantasy XVI, folks, although Final Fantasy XVI is an excellent game.
That was intense. That was intense. Amanda really got in that camera's face.
Like, she has feelings. I have so many feelings about Final Fantasy 16. You can DM me anytime to talk about Final Fantasy 16. I'm here for it.
Final Fantasy 16 is currently my game of the year, and I played Legend of Zelda, so.
Wow.
Yeah, not going to lie to you.
Stand there, my goodness.
Well,
it's heading in that direction for me, too.
It's worth mentioning, they can both be your game of the year here because that's true. One game of the year per ESRB rating, so they are actually not competitors. just saying. I didn't do that on purpose. Square Enix decided to make it an M-rated game. They could have brought the heat,
in
but
the
they
first
were like
5 minutes.
Yeah, like, they were like, no, we want to make this M-rated. Anyway, I don't want to make this about Final Fantasy 16. Final Fantasy 7, one of the most famous games of all time, right? Like this is like one of the games that put modern role-playing games on the map. Commercials during NFL games for Final Fantasy VII. I almost said Resident Evil again. Final Fantasy VII. And now they finally gave us the remake. The remake, famously, one of our games of the year, the year that it came out. We had a whole episode about why they got the ESRB rating wrong.
We did.
And,
it was even talk about the episode.
And at that, and that was one of my favorite episodes of all time because we had a really good discussion about it. And now here we are. Mm-hmm. We're going to be having a whole discussion again because they're going to rate the next one T and we're going to be like, nope, because Barrett's been cussing up a storm this whole time. And it's a 100-hour open world RPG. And here's the thing. I was talking to my oldest son about it and I was like, well, you know, they could reuse the tile set and all that, you know, like whatever. And he was like, no, they can't. It's not in Midgar anymore. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. So I don't know how they did this. Outside of probably a lot of crunch, which is unfortunate, but I can't undo.
They have to put it on two discs.
Well, that's just madness to me, a PlayStation 5 game on two discs. So, and it's coming out February 29th, which really amuses me because it's on leap year. So, like, it's going to screw up anniversaries forever. I can't wait until 4 years afterwards when I can say happy first birthday, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Anyway.
You would be that guy.
Oh, I'm 100% going to be that guy. Honestly, I'm going to schedule it 4 years in advance just in buffer. I'm just like making that content right now. So the other things they showed us, we got a bunch of information about Spider-Man 2. Why has this game got to come out the same day as Super Mario Brothers Wonder? Linda, why are they doing this?
They're torturing you. They did it on purpose. They went, how can we make Steve the most frustrated? And that's what they did.
Do they think that I'm the only one? Because like,
maybe they just want to make nerds frustrated. I mean, it's not hard.
It's really not hard to frustrate. Wow.
Linda gets frustrated easily.
Linda's just taking shots at us, and I appreciate it. I get it.
I am part of that. I'm insulting myself as well.
Mom is sitting us down and having mom is sitting us down and having an intervention.
Yeah.
I mean, man, Spider, listen.
She's like real talk.
So
I am real talk.
So is anyone gonna buy the digital version that has those 10 suits for Spider-Man and Miles Morales? Me either. Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe okay. Maybe
is it just pre-order?
I don't, that part I don't know. If it's just pre-ordering it, then whatever. I'm going to give them the money, so I may as well get the suits.
I was going to say, I'm not getting it on day one, but I'll probably get it digitally anyway, because that's what I do with my most of my PS5 games now.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll look, and we'll put a poll up on the Facebook group to see. Honestly, those suits didn't really do it for me, but the suits aren't really the big draw for me in Spider-Man. I spent the entire last game in the one that looked like I was in a comic book, so, which made cutscenes really awkward because I looked like I was, you know, whatever. I just want to fast travel super fast because of the SSD. That's really all I want. I'm freaking out about the technology on this game.
Insomniac has been great with that. I feel like out of all the publishers, Insomniac's the best with the PS5.
Yeah,
they figured out the tech.
I agree.
Really, really well.
Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, like how quickly you could go between dimensions.
Yeah.
Or teleport.
I don't know. I think Sony Santa Monica did a pretty good job with God of War. Wasn't that bad? I mean,
there wasn't that much fast travel.
But you did a lot of like really see. I mean, keep in mind, there's no cuts in that game. It's one shot.
Yeah. With Spider-Man, like, it literally, screen goes black, screens up. Screen goes black, screens up.
I really want to know. I want somebody, I want, like, NoClip or somebody to do, like, a real deep dive on how much they had to work to get the transition, like, that fast transition with the smooth animation down into the map. I want to know how they did that from, like, a technical standpoint. Like, I want them to get it so nerdy that I need ChatGPT to explain half of the words to me. That's what I want. So, and maybe that's because I'm broken on the inside, and I'll accept it. The other thing from the PlayStation experience I want to, or not PlayStation experience, PlayStation State of Play that I want to talk about is Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Now,
all right.
Does anyone else aside from my mom care about this game?
I will. Amanda's just like, go ahead. If you're gonna talk about it, podcast.
No. Not even that. Promise. I don't know. I feel like I'm sitting back and I'm waiting to see what the reviews look like before I make up my mind. But I do like a more wholesome Far Cry. Like, that speaks to me personally. Because I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the Far Cry games because they're always, like, way too intense.
They're fun, though. I love them.
Listen, this one isn't going to be, you know, can you tell me the definition of insanity? Like, none of that crap. Like, I'm not going to have Giancarlo Esposito, like, hunting me down. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have that. But here's the thing.
You mean those side quests with Danny Trejo as Danny Trejo?
I mean, listen.
Like, trying to blow you up? That was
I don't want Danny Trejo trying to I prefer Danny Trejo not try to blow me up. So, it is... I think that's a really good description Amanda gave, is that this is a Far Cry game. It's going to have all the normal Far Cry nonsense. With the towers and the forts, and it's gonna have all that stuff. It's gonna be a map full of icons, and we're gonna be doing.
It's a Ubisoft game, y'all. Buckle up.
But it's in a different world, so it's gonna. We don't have to deal with the normal, like, Far Cry, like, there's a villain and all, like. There's going to be a villain, but it's not going to be obsessed with that villain's, like, weird personality and whatnot. It's going to be just an Avatar game. And really, I think that I'm kind of excited to play a game where the whole point is to just run around a map and visit cool looking places with wacky animals and fight robot dudes in robot suits. Like, that sounds like it's cool to me. And the weirdest the weirdest part for me is looking at this game knowing no matter what score it gets, I have to buy it because my mother, I showed her the trailer this Sunday. She looked up the price for a PlayStation 5.
That's incredible.
So wow. My mother was like, oh, so I want to play this. So like, is this what I have to buy to play this? And I was like, well, I mean, you can buy an Xbox too. But like, what's the difference really? And I was like, so for her realistically, because this is the only game she's ever going to play. And I was like, Mom, how about I buy it? Because I was going to buy, obviously. How about I buy it? And I'll come over with one of the boys and he and I will like swap back and forth and we'll play and you can just tell us where to go and we'll do that.
That sounds for like more her speed.
3 or 4 weekends, not in a row, but like over time. And you can see the story. I'm guessing that her algorithm on social media isn't going to feed her too many spoilers about the Avatar game.
But you never like, know. I would be curious to see your mom's feed. I don't know if she's so into it.
My mom's YouTube feed is all superhero and disaster movie stuff.
Oh my goodness.
Her favorite movie of all time, San Andreas with The Rock. It's her favorite movie of all time. She loves that movie.
Amazing.
So it's going to be wild. I cannot wait to report back. My plan is to, I'm going to be posting TikToks and Instagram reels like the entire day while we're playing this. So there's going to be like so much documentation of my time playing this game with my mother. But am I the only one that's going to be playing it? Are we all just waiting for the reviews?
Because
I want to know if it's something I can play with Vivi.
Yeah.
Right? That's my big thing.
I have never seen an Avatar movie. So the only interaction I have with Avatar is the world in Animal Kingdom at Disney World.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
There's only two.
Yeah.
First one came out, I was a poor college student.
Okay, that's fair. I'll allow it.
There it is.
I forget you were a child. My bad.
So the first one came out, I was a poor college student, so I really had to pick and choose what movies.
That makes sense.
No, I was going to pay to go see. I hated 3D movies, and back then, that was the trend, because I wear glasses, so I'd always have to wear the stupid 3D glasses over my glasses. I will say this game looks very pretty. I probably will not be buying it, but if it shows up on Game Pass or PlayStation Plus, I would probably play it.
There is zero chance that this isn't on Game Pass by the middle of next year. Like this screams Game Pass game to me.
But Ubisoft has their own subscription service.
But there are Ubisoft games on Xbox Game Pass.
There are.
So,
I mean, depending on how well it goes, a lot of Ubisoft games have been the PS Plus free game of the month. So.
Also,
in a year,
most Far Cry games end up $20 anyway. So
yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. Like, I personally, I don't like the franchise and the IP, but like playing another Far Cry game until Far Cry comes out, sure. Like, I like the Far Cry games. I don't have a problem with the violence because of like I don't have kids to keep them from it. So like, I'll play this, probably.
It's like Far Cry Primal in space.
Yeah, I'm down for that. And you're an alien. So yeah.
And you're an alien. So interesting stuff. Obviously, we're going to find out more. It's coming out in December. It's one of the last big releases of the year that has been announced so far. Obviously, there will be some more stuff coming. I don't suspect that this is going to dethrone Final Fantasy or Starfield or, you know, like this isn't going to be one of those game of the year contenders, but I feel like it's going to be one of those games that's going to come out at the end of the year and it's either going to be a hot mess or it's going to be like, wow, wouldn't it have been cool if this game came out in 2024?
Yeah.
So it could have a real chance to like really shine because, you know, it's going to get overshadowed by these other masterpieces and it's just pretty good. Kind of like Far Cry 3. Which was another game that came out in December and is well-loved, and everybody loves it back on that PS3, and there's a lot of folks that it was just kind of overlooked because it came out at the end of the year. So it'll be interesting to see if they did it to Far Cry again.
Well, and I think that's kind of what happened with Ubisoft's, one of Ubisoft's big game, was it 2 years ago with Immortals Fenyx Rising, came out in December, and then people who played it, like, oh, this is cool, but then if you didn't play it, just kind of dropped off, and within a couple months, you could get the game for $20.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we're going to see. We're going to find out. Not much longer. It's coming out in December, which is not that much longer.
Well, we know it.
So... One last thing before we go. I asked Amanda to put on her business hat. Amanda, can you put your business hat on for me? Thank you. For our audio listeners, she put on a virtual economy business hat. And so last night, in the dark of night, someone leaked a whole bunch of Xbox emails. Most of them not super relevant to us. We'll sort through all that later. But there's one that freaked out the internet a whole lot. Amanda, can you just tell me, is Microsoft going to buy Nintendo?
No.
There we have it.
No.
Definitively, from the business expert. And Amanda.
Yes.
Why isn't Microsoft going to buy Nintendo?
Gosh, for so many reasons.
Can we get like the top two?
Well, number one is it would be blocked by every, and I do mean every major trade board around the world. And two, they can't bloody well afford it. Their market caps are not, so like looking at Nintendo, they could in theory subsume it maybe because they're still bigger. But over the long term, it's not a good bet. It's not a good bet. It's a good in for them in Japan, but so's Sega, right? So's Capcom. So they don't need it. Like, so where this came from, just to like give us a little bit of background, is that there was a big leak of legal documents with regards to what happened with an ongoing court case that I also am not going to talk about here because I spend so much of my life talking about this ongoing court case. But in an August 2020 email, Spencer was like musing out loud, essentially saying like, maybe Microsoft buys Nintendo. They don't have enough cash for that, number one. And two, Nintendo would never agree to it. They don't want to be purchased. They're doing really, really well on their own. They are, you know, we often talk about how PlayStation has their playbook, right? It's tried and true. It usually works for them because that's just the way they roll. Microsoft has their playbook, which usually works for them. They change it up every now and again. Nintendo does things completely different from how everybody else does things, and they are successful despite some of the things that they do, some of the decisions that they make, some of the investments that they make. They move at a glacial pace. They are a draconian, very like rooted in traditions kind of company. Microsoft is on the bleeding end of technology a lot of the time. They are not culturally compatible in a lot of ways. And in a lot of ways, the reason why this ended up getting blown out of proportion is that people are making an assumption based on a musing in an email, right? It was very much a, okay, well, the board of directors at Microsoft would be like, quote unquote, fully supportive, but the opportunity is never going to present itself because Nintendo doesn't want to be purchased.
So, they're not for sale. They like, if they are anything, not. Look, if you look at this year, no one could buy Nintendo.
This email that made this big fuss is dated in August after the release of Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is stuff that was leaked as part of legal filings. There were subpoenas for lots of old emails related to acquisitions and stuff. So it makes sense why the email went out, because it was, you know, find everything that involved buying somebody else. And they were like, well, we got to give them this, even though it's absolutely nonsense. The reality is Phil Spencer saying, I want to buy Nintendo, and it would be a career moment to buy Nintendo is me saying, I want to buy Kinda Funny, and it would be a career moment if I bought Kinda Funny. Of course, I would love to buy them. I would love their infrastructure, their studio, their employees, everything. EFG would blow up if I did that. However, not only could I not, but not only could I not afford them, they don't want to be bought. It's not exactly similar, but it's a ridiculous idea in and of itself. And this email is old, and it is absolutely right around when you couldn't buy a Nintendo Switch. Remember the beginning of the pandemic where you couldn't buy a Nintendo Switch because everybody was buying it to play Animal Crossing? Sting appeared on a talk show hosted in Animal Crossing. Sting, not the wrestler, the musician.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
Like, this was at,
it was
like,
a whole phenomenon.
It was crazy.
It really was. It was a cultural moment.
Exactly.
Because we couldn't be together. And Animal Crossing became this cultural catalyst, I want to say, where it was not just bringing together friends, it was bringing together entertainers, and it was creating these new social spaces. I've literally written books about digital playgrounds. So that's essentially what this was, but on a much grander scale.
Exactly. And this is when he wrote that. And it was really, okay, companies must do this kind of stuff. It's called due diligence. You have to do competitive analysis. And if you're going to go and present a report about who you're going to buy and do acquisitions, you got interns doing this stuff and they're going to grab everybody. They're just going to grab the whole, they just Google and grab the whole list. Not all of these things were realistic. We have to present the whole table because you have to, you have to compare good deals to bad ones. It's just how these big research and all this stuff works. And of course, Phil Spencer wants to buy Nintendo because that would freaking rule. Like, from his perspective,
I want to buy Nintendo.
I mean, exactly.
At this point,
I texted Amanda and said, "Hey, Nintendo. Hey, Amanda, I want to buy Nintendo. Is that newsworthy?" She didn't even respond. That's how.
No.
That's how not newsworthy it is. She didn't even think to tell me. Amanda left me on read for the first time ever.
Okay, look, I didn't leave you on read
because
I didn't want to respond to you. I got distracted and I forgot to respond.
Wait, let me look. Dude,
it's funnier to say that you left him.
It's still on red right now. We've been...
I know.
So, anyway. So, anyone who... So, if you are listening to this podcast, you're going to see a lot of hysterical think pieces and posts across the internet over the next couple of days about how Xbox wants to buy Nintendo and the evils of consolidation.
And which is bad. Just to be clear, consolidation in this economy is extremely risky and bad for labor.
Yes,
unless it's Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard, in which case, power to them. Get rid of Bobby Kotick.
This is,
yeah,
I know. Yeah, and you said you weren't going to do this. You said you weren't going to do it. So I'm.
Okay,
I was
wait,
trying.
Wait.
We backed her into it.
Take the business hat off. Okay. Listen, you're going to see some ridiculous, breathless think pieces from all across the gaming landscape about what would happen if Xbox bought Nintendo and how it would be bad for the industry, etc. Here's the good news. Don't even worry about it, because they're not. They're just not.
They're not.
They were never gonna. This email was written as just a bunch of dudes talking. And it was probably, he was probably eating lunch when he sent that email. Like, this is one of those things where it was just like a nothing burger. And it's being served up as, there's plenty of useful and interesting things coming out of those emails. And we'll probably talk about them in a couple of weeks when things get sorted out and we know what's real and what's not. But Nintendo is not being bought by Microsoft. You're not going to be playing Mario games on Xbox Game Pass. Just stop. Relax. Everything's going to be okay. With that said, everybody, we did it. That is one more episode of the Engaged Family Gaming podcast down. I hope you guys listening enjoyed as much as we enjoyed recording and as much as John enjoyed building his Legos and Linda enjoyed knitting her blanket or crocheting her blanket, because we set the bar really high, because this is a high point in the week for all of us. So
True.
Definitely a high point for me. I absolutely love recording these shows. We will be back next week for episode 14 of The Coils of Destiny. It was a cliffhanger. We want to know what that snake is turning into, everybody. Talia suplexed it, and it was changing. And we want to know what it's turning into. So if you want to know what that snake turns into, tune in next week, Monday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we'll be back the week after for another episode of the Engage Family Gaming Podcast, where we will very likely talk about a bunch of that Xbox stuff once we let the people go through the news and we find out what's real and what's not, because who knows anymore. So, everybody, have a good night. And until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll see y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.